Matthew, can you tell me, please, what an environmental geochemist is?
So an environmental geochemist is someone who studies chemical processes and chemical systems in the environment. So what I'm interested in is understanding the chemistry of water, of soils, of sediments, and also the processes that control the chemistry of these materials and the water that interacts with them.
Now, you've just started a brand new NSERC industrial chair with Syncrude. Could you tell me the name of the chair and what it is that you'll be doing?
Sure. The chair is called the NSERC Syncrude Industrial Research Chair in Mine Closure Geochemistry. It's a 5-year research program, and the idea is to conduct research that has both scientific relevance and industrial relevance focused on mine closure, so understanding the chemical behavior or the chemical characteristics of mine closure landscapes through field experiments and laboratory experiments. And really the ultimate goal of this is to try and understand how materials that are produced through oil sands mining and bitumen upgrading, how they evolve or behave chemically in the environment, and how we can use information that we gain on understanding how these materials behave to come up with strategies for mine closure that are aimed at enhancing or maximizing water quality.
Well, can you give me an idea of how big an issue or a problem this is, this mine closure?
Well, mine closure is a significant issue for all resource extractive industries, and that's because we don't know a lot about some of these materials that are produced through mining, particularly engineered materials. So part of the idea of this chair is to study these materials to better understand them, understand how we might close mines and integrate these materials into the closure landscapes to limit any negative impacts on water quality.
So I'm just looking at a statistic here, and it suggests that the overall environmental footprint of the mines would be something like 4,800 square kilometers just in this century alone. What does that mean?
Well, what this tells us is this is the area of the land surface that will be disturbed in some form, to some extent, in order to extract bitumen from the oil sands deposits. So this is the total landscape that will be disturbed through creation of open pits to extract the bitumen, through storage of overburden materials, and really, this is we're creating a new landscape here. So this is a landscape that is at some sort of disequilibrium. So it's going to want to evolve chemically back to some sort of state. And the idea here is that if we understand some of these processes, some of the conditions that control how these landscapes behave, we can try and design these closure landscapes or form these closure landscapes in a way that they will have the best chance of coming back to something that resembles the pre-mining landscape.
And how are they being closed now?
Currently, these landscapes are being closed with what Syncrude has been working on recently. So Syncrude has one of the first certified reclamation areas where they're closing these landscapes in several ways, but one of the ways is to put a growth substrate for plant material to promote regrowth of forests, establishing wetlands, and then also more recently, end pit lakes have become one of the strategies for closure of these oil sands mines. It should be mentioned that the chair that I'm working on doesn't focus on those systems specifically. My research is specifically focused on understanding the materials within the landscapes and how they behave or how they evolve over time.
So then with the research that you're going to be doing, can you give me an example of what it is that you'd be looking at? How would you experiment with this?
Sure. So what my research chair focuses on specifically is two key materials that will be and are being integrated into the landscape. So the first is fine centrifuge tailings or centrifuge fine tailings. So this is a technology that's been developed more recently to address Directive 74 to increase the amount of trafficable tailings deposited in the closure landscape or in the mining landscape and reduce the amount of processed water and fluid tailings stored in the landscape. Essentially what this technology is there's a chemical added to the tailings. It's a polymer, and what it does is it helps the clay minerals bind to each other. And then when you spin these materials, so similar to, say, a washing machine on a spin cycle, they spin these fine tailings with this polymer added, and you can extract water from these tailings. So reduce the water content, reduce the amount of fluid tailings. And there's two benefits from that. First, the centrifuge tailings behave more like a soil. So they're still rich in clay particles, but they're more of a solid. There's less water there. So that can be used for reforming landscapes. It can create trafficable surfaces. And the other benefit of this technology is that we end up being able to recycle that water that's extracted for reuse in the processing. So centrifuge cake or centrifuge fine tailings is one of the two key materials that I'm studying in my chair. The other one is petroleum coke. So petroleum coke is a byproduct of the bitumen upgrading process. So this is where we have thermal cracking of long chain hydrocarbons. So basically what that means is we're trying to break down some of the more complex molecules, the carbon molecules within the bitumen, produce lighter molecules that can then be upgraded to synthetic crude oil. And the material coke itself is what's left over during that process. And so this material is primarily carbon. It's about 80% carbon, and then it contains sulfur and it contains some other trace elements as well. Now, this material is stored, again, in the landscape, currently in the mining landscape, but it will ultimately be integrated into the closure landscape. And so the research that we're doing with both of these materials is to understand, initially, what are their characteristics? How do they behave chemically under different conditions? So, for example, if we have petroleum coke stored at the land surface, where it's exposed to the atmosphere, there's oxygen present, the reactions that occur might be very different from those that would occur if this material is stored under a deep water cover where there's much less oxygen and potential for a different set of reactions to occur. So if we understand these differences and the underlying reasons for these differences, then we have a better chance of coming up with a strategy for integrating this material into the closure landscape that will reduce any potential impacts on water quality.
And what would be the concerns over leaching?
Well, the concerns for coke are that we could have trace elements released from the coke itself due to different geochemical reactions. So there are a range of elements, trace elements that are present in coke that are also found in the bitumen, and that's where they're derived from. So as the bitumen's upgraded, some of these elements, and I mentioned a couple, so we have, I mentioned that coke is primarily carbon-based, but we do also have sulfur and we have some iron, and there are some metals like nickel and zinc and things like that. So there is a slight potential for some of this to be released through different biogeochemical reactions. Now, the other side of this is Syncrude has developed a technology where they're actually utilizing petroleum coke to treat process water. So they've done some research through their Edmonton R&D Center where they've identified that coke is actually very effective at sorbing or removing naphthenic acids from the water. So another side of this is the more that we understand about coke and how it behaves chemically, the more information is available to evaluate not only how to integrate coke into the closure landscape, but also we learn more about its behavior and what we might expect when we use coke as a treatment medium as well.
Well, it sounds, since you're just getting started on this, that you really have your work cut out for you. How do you expect to proceed over the next little while?
Well, sure. Yes, there's a lot of research to be done, and not just by me. I mean, Syncrude and other oil sands companies work with a wide range of researchers on a large number of projects. But specifically, my project is going to proceed over the next 5 years by focusing on both laboratory experiments. For example, I mentioned that I'm studying centrifuge fine tailings and also petroleum coke. So we're going to be running experiments where we recycle these two materials through a range of geochemical conditions to look at how the materials will react or what reactions will occur under different conditions. Then we also go out into the field, and this is a really unique aspect of this research chair, is that through this partnership, I'm able to access deposits on Syncrude's site. I'm able to access infrastructure, equipment to get samples and run experiments in these systems. And so what we're actually going to be doing, and we've already started to do actually, is identifying locations within the existing landscape that contain these materials, and then trying to go in and collect samples from regions where we know we have different conditions prevailing. We can then start looking at the range and the chemistries that we might expect to see under these different conditions. And then we can start to compare that with what we see in the laboratory and start building conceptual models of how these materials are likely to behave over time. And then that information will ultimately be fed into the development of long-term closure plans for some of these mines.
So will you have some grad students working with you?
Absolutely, yes. This chair will include funding for six graduate students Four of these will be master's students, and one will be a PhD student. And then there's also funding for 6 undergraduate students to become involved in the research. So the graduate students will take on research projects that will comprise their thesis research that will lead towards them getting a graduate degree in geological sciences at the University of Saskatchewan. Now, the undergraduate students, this is a unique opportunity. So 3 of these students will actually participate in the research through summer internships. So 3 of these students will support field-based research and laboratory-based research in summer term for the next 3 years starting next summer. And then additionally, we have funding for 3 undergraduate students to conduct research projects that will count towards their undergraduate education. So in total, 12 students will be participating in this research chair, and that's really exciting for me as a professor.
Thank you very much, Matthew.
Yeah, no problem.